Today, we will read Luke chapter 16. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Help us to understand your word. Help us to understand what it is that you're trying to say to us, how we should live. Lord, speak to our hearts today. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 16. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that, when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Then he asked a second, 'How much do you owe?' 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, 'Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that, when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing their way into it. It is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the least stroke of a pen to drop out of the law. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery, and the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, He looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have 5 brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." All right. In today's reading, we have 2 stories that really look at how we deal with material possessions. And the first one, I'll be honest, is very difficult. Let's look at it. This man is a manager for a rich man. And the rich man finds out that his manager has not been doing his job well. He's been wasting the master's resources and possibly stealing from the rich man. And so we see this manager called in and fired. And so before he is fired, he is asked to give an account of where the master's money currently stands. So this manager goes out, and he goes to the different people and finds out, "How much do you owe?" And so the first one, he's like, "Okay, let's cut it in half. You owe the man less." Goes to the next guy, "How much do you owe?" "900 or 1,000? Okay, make it 800. All right. And he keeps going to all these people who owe money to his former master. And what he's doing is reducing their debt, trying to get into their favor so that when he loses his job, they will take care of him. And so the master finds out what he's done and actually commends his shrewdness, his way of handling the situation. All right, what on earth is this talking about? What does Jesus want us to learn from this? Well, I think it's important to notice that Jesus never says that what the man did was right. He never says, "Oh, you should do this also." No, instead, he points out that people of this world, that they can see and recognize what other people do, and they are actually admire that. It basically, the manager did something wrong. When his master, his boss, found out about it, he actually commended him, not because what he did was right, but probably because the boss said, "Huh, okay, that's probably what I would have done too." And it's not necessarily what we should do, but recognizing that people of this world, they're smart. They're not dumb. They can figure things out. And so if you look at Jesus' application in verse 8, he says, "For the people of this world are more shrewd." In other words, they act very smartly. They try to use their minds to figure out how to gain from things. They are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. What he's really looking at is contrasting people that are not following Jesus and are not following God with people who are. And those who are on their own not following God, they are trying always to benefit themselves, just like this servant did. And so, but then Jesus' application comes next, not to do the same thing. Look at what he says in verse 9. "I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." What is he talking about here? Well, I think what he is saying is we are to use the wealth and the worldly possessions that God has blessed us with, that we are managers of God's funds. We should use them to prepare for the future. What future? We should use them to prepare for eternity. And so then he goes on, and he looks at other things. Whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with very much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Okay, this manager wasn't trustworthy, so he lost everything. And he used a little bit that he had to try to gain things for himself. But we, if we are trustworthy, we don't have to be dishonest. If we use God's resources for his purposes to prepare for eternity, then we can be trusted with more. He says, "If you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you your own? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And so, Jesus isn't telling us to go and cheat our boss. Instead, he is saying, look at the things that are in your possession. Look at the opportunities that you have to truly think about and prepare for the future. Just like this dishonest man used his master's resources to prepare for his future, you should use the resources that God has given you to prepare for your eternal future. The only way to really do that is to follow and obey God, but to put eternity, the future, first. We can't serve two masters. I cannot serve both trying to develop and gain money and develop my wealth and to serve God. So, rather than being like this dishonest man trying to get more for myself, I should serve God in an honest and true way, thinking about heaven, thinking about the future, thinking about eternity. I should be using this wealth here that God has entrusted with me, that he has given to me to use. I should be using this for his kingdom, using it to develop friends and relationships that I can then invest in those people for eternity. As God has given me things, I should use it to care for other people so that then I have an eternal reward. Again, the story still is challenging. But as we look at the way that Jesus applies it, he never tells us to go out and be dishonest. But instead, how are we looking at the things that we have? Are we looking towards the future or just wasting it all now? Now, the Pharisees, they loved money. And they heard this and they were kind of mocking Jesus. And Jesus says, "You are the ones who justify yourselves and the others, but God knows your heart. For what people value highly is detestable in God's sight." And this kind of, I think, ties back to the story that some people kind of valued this dishonesty. They valued, "Oh, this guy was smart. That's actually pretty smart. He used his master's money to benefit for himself. Good job, dude. That was actually a smart thing to do." And Jesus is saying, what people highly value here is detestable in God's sight. That the world would look at this man and say, "There's a smart man." But that's not what God likes. And so the Pharisees might have been similar to this dishonest man. And they're thinking, "Oh, I'm pretty smart." But Jesus is saying, this is detestable to God. Now, if we look at the story at the end of the chapter, we see this rich man and Lazarus. And this wealthy man who has been living the great life, both he and this beggar, this poor man named Lazarus, they both die. But one of them goes to heaven, the other goes to hell. And the rich man is in hell suffering, and he's miserable, and he says, "Lord, send Lazarus to give me some water." And Abraham says, "I'm sorry, we can't do that. You're separated." And basically, the rich man had lived his life for the temporary and had never cared or thought about eternity. He had ignored the word of God. And he even says, "Send Lazarus back to warn my brothers." And Abraham says, "I'm sorry, they have the law, they have the word of God, but they have ignored it. They're not going to listen to Lazarus come back from the dead." In the same way, we have the Bible. But if we are spending all of our time pursuing money, pursuing fulfillment and happiness in this world, and not thinking about the future, then we're not going to go to heaven. If we are not following Jesus, choosing him, and obeying him, we don't have a promise of a reward. And so both of these stories, the first and the last, look at how we deal with material possessions. And he is commending and condemning this unjust servant because he was smart in the way that he prepared for the future, but we are often not smart in the way that we think about eternity. But then you can kind of see that at the end in the story of the rich man, that he didn't think about eternity. He didn't think about the future. And then it was too late. He was in hell. I think I want to close looking at this last story, though, that hell is a real place. And if we don't really think about it, if we never prepare for eternity, we could end up there. And I pray that you would put God first, that you would choose to follow God, because hell is a real place and it's not good. Choose to follow God and put Him first. Come back to Him and put Him above everything in this world, so that you, like Lazarus, might be in heaven and not in hell. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this chapter today. Show us how to apply it and how to follow you. Show us how to put eternity first, how to put you first, and serve you and not our own temporary selfish desires. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.